They ditched you for marrying the Serrano kid? When you're a hero?
Well, I'm also a land bride back on Altiplano.
You have two husbands? I guess that would do it. A boy in every port, huh?
No, it's not like that. I'm not that sort of person. Landbride is a sort of family thing, and religious. It's the woman in the family who is responsible for the land, for seeing that it's cared for.
Oh. And this bothered them? Were you going to go back there and take him with you?
No. I was going to resign as landbride, give it to my cousin Lucy, and stay in Fleet. But then things happened.
They always do.
So, after the news of the mutiny, we were traveling together back to our assignments, and we just got married. We'd waited so long, and so much was going on.
Without the right paperwork, I'm guessing. And without family permission?
Definitely without.
Basil leaned back, and one eyebrow rose.
That would annoy them.
Oh, stop it, Baz. You're learning bad habits from our passengers.
I need to find a way home. I thought maybe if I could talk to Hazel, I thought maybe she was on the ship. She'd help me.
Why not contact the Thornbuckle girl? She's rich enough to buy you a ship of your own.
I don't want to trouble her. She doesn't deserve it.
And you do? What we've heard of you is good, from the news vids and Hazel both. The hero of Xavier. The hero who saved the cause. And then the speaker's daughter.
Not by myself, any of it. And where did you learn about the cause?
Ah, there's not much we independent merchanters don't hear.
Quit it, Baz. You sound like a third-rate actor in a spy thriller. Seriously, Lieutenant, Sarah, we do pick up a lot of dockside talk, mostly wrong. Now, I figure the family owes you for your part in getting Hazel out, but we aren't a passenger line. We're mixed cargo.
But you said you had passengers.
Well, that's done it. And you are the cautious one.
What?
Sometimes we carry passengers. Not usually. We've had some recently.
Then could I mean, for a fare, of course. I don't know much about it.
We owe you, as I said, but we really do not have passenger quarters fit for you.
I'm used to basic accommodations.
I suppose you would be. Well, if you can share a small space and sleep in rotation, we can take you. But where do you want to go?
Castle Rock.
Esme was fairly, reasonably, almost sure that Brunn would be there. She could see Brunn privately without involving Fleet, and perhaps Brunn would be able to find out what, if anything, she could do to get back into Fleet, even in spite of the powerful Admiral Serrano.
Not Altiplano?
Not yet. Not ever, I hope.
Well, then you're probably not aware of civilian regulations, but we need to list you as a passenger on the manifest. Do you have civilian ID?
Of sorts, if discharge ships are sufficient.
Let me see.
Gunnar reached out, and Esme handed over the flat card-like discharge certification she'd been handed. Gunnar reached under the low table and pulled up an ID scanner. He ran it over the card.
Yes. It has everything required. Name, retinal and finger scan patterns, planet of origin, employment record. You left home young, didn't you?
Yes, I was space-struck early.
Our kids start early, too. Actually, earlier than that. But of course, their families are in space.
Gunnar handed the chip back.
There. You want to travel under your own name, don't you?
Yes, my unmarried name. There hasn't been time to get it changed.
Fine. I've entered you into our log. Now, about luggage.
I don't have much. They said the rest of my things would be sent to me. They're somewhere between the ship I left before going on leave and the one I was supposed to be assigned to.
Do you have what you need? We can send someone for anything missing.
I'll be all right.
Good. Then you can go aboard now, since you don't want to be seen on station. We're not ready to strike our tents yet. We're in the queue for 2 days from now.
Gunnar shifted his gaze to Basil.
And I prefer not to make sudden departures from ports unless it's absolutely necessary.
It was.
Will that be satisfactory, Sarah?
Oh, I'm very grateful. Now, about the fare...
Forget the fare. I'm telling the station master that we're not a passenger ship, but we're not about to leave the hero of Xavier in the lurch. Or charge for it, either. That clears our honor both ways.
Esme couldn't follow all of that, but the master and second-in-command of Tarakian Fortune seemed almost smug about something. Basil, as cargo master, took her through to another room, this one filled with electronics gear, and then through the docking tube of the ship. A civilian merchant ship, Esme found, had its own ceremonies, however unlike these were to the austere formalities of the regular space service. A trim youngster in a green tunic led her to the tiny compartment that she would occupy during her sleep shift, and pointed out the small cubby where she could stow a few toiletries. Her clothes would have to go across the passage, in a locker already stuffed with carry-ons. The boy seemed far too young to be working aboard ship, and Esme wondered briefly about child piracy, until she remembered that Hazel, too, had been very young. Apparently, civilian merchants took their children with them.
Are you the captain's son?
Me, Seta? Captain Gunnar? No, Seta. Gunnar, he's not got any children. They all died. I'm Costa Tarakian Sibo, Sir Basil's aunt's son on his mother's side. It's my first trip as full crew, Seta. So even though I still have classes, I'm getting paid full wage.
Congratulations.
Only problem is, the fathers insist that we juniors can't have all our money to spend. It's going to take me the whole voyage to save up for the new cube player I want.
Basil emerged from a cross corridor and glared at the boy.
And a good thing, too. We just have to confiscate it to keep you from deafening everyone on the ship. Go on now, Costa, and let the lady alone. Have you done the rotational analysis yet?
The boy whipped out a pocket display and flicked it on.
Yes, Sir Basil. The set is luggage here, and the moment here, and...
Good! And did you give her the ship's books?
No, I wasn't sure.
Yes, of course she needs them.
Basil looked at Esme.
Why don't you come along to the bursars, and we'll get you started. Unfortunately, we don't mount cube readers in all the compartments, so you'll have to read the hard copy.
Oh, fine.
Esme followed him down one corridor, then another, mapping automatically. The bursar's was a medium-sized compartment full of desks and files, with office machines around the edges. Basil turned to a stack of shelving and pulled out two well-thumbed manuals, one of which described the ship's layout and the other the emergency procedures. Tarakian Fortune, Esme recognized, was roughly equivalent to a smallish cruiser in tonnage, but organized very differently. The space taken up on a cruiser by weapons and ammunition storage could be stuffed with cargo here, as could the crew space required for the much larger military crews. Only 20 personnel per watch. Esme could hardly believe anyone could run a ship with so few, and yet, as she read through the manuals, the essentials were covered with adequate redundancy. She hoped. The knowledge that the Fortune had no serious offensive armament, and shields only moderately better than a private yacht, left her feeling vulnerable. The single weapon was clearly intended for scaring minimally armed raiders. Someone had rigged duplicator lines intended to show up on inferior scans as multiple armaments.
The set is temporarily assigned to the second rotation, which means the third seating today. Uncle... Captain Tarakian dines ashore while we're in port. Second seating is finishing lunch now, and I'm to take you to the mess.
Thank you. Costa?
Yes, Sarah. Tarakian Sibo. But you don't need to remember that part. Just call me Costa. Everyone else does.
The terminology of seatings and rotations meant nothing to her. Was second rotation like the second watch? Instead of asking, she followed the boy to the mess hall.